This is Dan Hansis along with Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal.
Hey, Dan.
Of the Around the NFL podcast on our latest show. Gotta check it out. We dug into the news, a nice meat and potatoes show. Go through all the news, Peyton Manning, Colin Kaepernick, Tom Brady, Tony Romo, and then we talk combine takeaways with NFL.com draft analyst Lance Zierlein. Wow, what a show, Mark Sessler.
I don't get what people are doing with their lives if they're not listening to this episode now.
Check out NFL.com/podcasts. Check us out on iTunes. Check us out on YouTube. The Around the NFL podcast.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Damashek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to the Dave Damashek football program back in Studio 66. We've returned from Indianapolis, Indiana. A glorious time out there. A nice little, we went, acoustic, but
acapella.
Acapella is what we went.
That's right.
Instead there, we have much to kibitz about. Hey, a note for the Czech Republic and for the Handsome Devils and all the fan clubs that surround the DDFP program. This month, this is our last video show. We always have been doing, for the last 6 months or thereabouts, we've been doing video and audio production on the show. For the month of March, this is the last time we're doing video. We'll have some video elements that we'll sprinkle in on YouTube and on NFL.com and NFL Now, so be on the lookout for those. But this is probably good news for the audio listener who often complains to me on social media that we don't do enough to pay attention to the audio listener. So here you go. You have a whole month of us in your ears and not in your eyeballs.
Dave,
so.
Is there any truth that McDonald's is no longer sponsoring us because of the work that we did, they ran out of food?
Well, I think
you can't go to McDonald's at the moment.
Well, I thought you were making a joke at either my my sizable gut and or Maurice Jones-Drew's,
accurate. No, what I mean is, like, they literally, so many DDFP listeners were excited by you encouraging them to get all-day breakfast that McDonald's actually ran out of food.
Hey, all I can do is once again point out the fact that McDonald's sales are through the roof.
Right.
Success, since all-day breakfast started being promoted on the Dave Damashek football program.
Mm-hmm.
I called that shot like Babe Ruth in the World Series. I pointed on the day the McDonald's union with Damashek was announced. I said, I think both formidable brands are going to be made all the more powerful.
I remember.
By the union. You know what? We're listening to his voice. We heard him sing, to start off. Let's introduce him formally now. Here he is all the way from London, England, our resident Miami Dolphins fan. It's Handsome Hank. So, hello, Handsome, and how are you, and how was your time in Indianapolis?
I'm very well indeed, thank you, Dave. I enjoyed my time in Indianapolis. I seem to, most times when I go there, I contract some kind of Midwestern virus, so I'm a little sick, but I'm battling through.
You don't sound too much worse, but
too much worse. What do you mean? I always sound bad, but I don't sound much.
You sound funny because you say a cappella. Words like that. Right. Well, we say a cappella.
Do you?
Yeah. Hey, speaking of Indianapolis, quickly let me hip you to some stuff that's out there on the internet, and I encourage you, nay, demand that you track it down. One, I went on a tour of Indianapolis with Pat McAfee, who I knew going in. Everybody said, oh, you're going to love him. He's from Pittsburgh. He's a funny guy. You guys are going to get on famously. And so we did.
You've got one thing in common then.
What's that?
You're both from Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah. Well, I got the zinger. I was a little slow on the uptake there. Maybe you should have. He should have shown you his Indianapolis. But he and I went around, and I discovered this about Pat McAfee. He is the most popular punter in the history of football.
It's incredible. I saw a woman who was driven, literally, it was like the Beatles. She was crying, wailing, and she did cry, literally, didn't she?
There were people, and they didn't know Pat McAfee was going to walk around the next turn, walking around the city of Indianapolis in number one jerseys. Who goes and buys the punter's jersey? It's super weird.
What other team do you think is actually even selling the punter's
jersey? I agree. That's what I said. I said, Pat McAfee, are you the most popular punter in history? He said, well, Ray Guy's in the Hoff. And I said, yes, but I've never seen a Ray Guy jersey in my life, and I've seen many in just the handful of hours that we've been walking around. People come up to him and swoon as though they're encountering Elvis and Bob Knight in the state of Indianapolis, in the state of Indiana. And speaking of that, we caught up with an Indiana legend from my alma mater, a fellow alumnus, Damon Bailey, played basketball in Hinkle Fieldhouse. What a crazy life, Handsome.
Blessed life.
You would think, but not on this. I thought the way it stacked up going into the trip. Let me tell you quickly what's coming up. We're going to talk a little mascot. If you haven't seen the pro basketball scandal of all scandals, the LA Clippers introduced a new mascot on Monday night, and it was ridiculous, and we're going to talk about that and some other
things. I haven't seen it, so I look forward to that.
We also continue our series of ranking the QBs in 10-year increments. We're up to Super Bowl 50, so we're going to dig into who are the best 10 quarterbacks as of Super Bowl 50, a.k.a. right now. Who are the greatest quarterbacks we've ever seen in our lives? So we're going to get into that. Little bit of Academy Awards and so on and so forth. So now we're, I guess, basically into very important stuff. So we'll continue to talk about this McAfee thing. Then Damon so my life seemed on paper as I boarded the flight to Indianapolis. I thought, this is going to be a great time. I'm only going to be there for 48 hours.
Right.
But what a time it figures to be. And when I got off the plane, it was snowing, which now some people might think this is weird, but I was in heaven. I love seeing the snow because, of course, I know I have a finite time to experience it. Now, if I were going to be in it for the next 5 months, I might be sad about it. But as it is, it was great to feel the cold and feel the snow and see it and all that sort of thing. It went downhill after that. It got bad because Pat McAfee was on the books. We were going to play basketball at legendary Hinkle Fieldhouse, the last scene from Hoosiers and all that, against Ike and Maurice. And little did I know Damon Bailey was going to show up. And then Greg Olson was going to oversee me possibly getting shaved. Now, Olson had the best beard in 2015 in the NFL, so I thought he would be an apt person to negotiate what to do if I should take the beard off. And, you know, 32 hours later, I was just humiliated at every turn.
On all fronts.
Go and watch it. It's on NFL.com/now. It's also on NFL.com. I don't know if it's on YouTube.
You can find it on your phone as well, on NFL Now, on the NFL mobile app, if you've got a connected device.
McAfee and I, and by the way, I had a bad back. And then it was Maurice and Ike versus me and Pat in basketball. And then the loser, it came up just before the game started, had to go out in the cold shirtless.
And pantless.
And so I did. And it didn't, it was, you know, that was for the ladies, but it gave me no pleasure.
Right.
You understand. And then I, that later in the day, went down onto the field in Indianapolis. Cool, in theory, Lucas Oil Field, all set up for the combine. And I did the combine drills. But, of course, you have to remember my athletic ability, you know. And so it was humiliating.
But you were, but I watched that. You weren't trying.
I was trying. I had a terrible back.
Hold on, but you ran a 40-yard dash in 7 seconds.
I had a very bad back.
Yeah, but Rich Eisen did it in under six.
He didn't have a bad back.
It doesn't matter.
And he streamlined up top.
I mean, that was, to me, that was kind of eye-opening. Because you've talked a little bit in the past about your athletic prowess and all this stuff.
I'm the most coordinated. I'm very coordinated, but I'm the slowest coordinated person ever.
Like 7 seconds is, it's very, very slow.
I agree. But I make no excuses, but I had a terrible back, and I felt very sore, and I'm old and pot-bellied. Now, I also, then the next day, I went to meet up with Greg Olson, another delightful, delightful character from the world of pro football. And 45 minutes later, my glorious beard had been shaved away, left with nothing more than a Fu Manchu. I've since trimmed it up. I thought for a minute, I was able to deceive the man in the mirror. I thought I looked a lot like, you know, Jack Nicholson in Last Detail, if you're familiar with that movie, Black Tie. I'm sure Black Tie has never heard it. I don't know if Black Tie's ever heard of Jack Nicholson, let alone that movie. Instead, it turns out I realized it was on cable last night, and I realized I look more like the father from Inside Out. It's kind of how I look.
Yeah, you do a little bit.
Somebody trying to pay me a compliment. Every woman, 100% of the women that have seen me, have been repulsed by the way I look. And I think in a way, it makes me want to keep the mustache.
Right.
Because it just gives me a built-in excuse now. Like, well, see, now I know it's not what I have to say. It's not the way I comport myself that makes women all despise me. It's just like, well, they couldn't get past the mustache. Yeah. What am I going to do?
What is the plan going forward?
Well,
I mean, I don't
there are people in my home, and by that I mean everyone, hates it. Everybody wants it gone. Everybody thinks I look terrible. I've been compared to porn stars. I've been compared to cops. Right. I think I look like an old West gunslinger.
You do a little bit. What I would like you to do is heavily take up smoking. So, because there's nothing.
Yeah.
The only thing that can make a mustache look worse is like a nicotine fringe on the bottom of it.
All right. I'll get to work on that. But then, and then I got a ridiculous shave and all that. And you can watch the Olsen stuff as well. And that was great fun to catch up with him, aside from being humiliated on my upper lip. All right. Let's get into it now. But we appreciate you checking that stuff out. Handsome and I, we always update you after we return from a trip. We continued the culinary tour across the United States. This time we went to Baz Bo's Pizza.
Yes, it was a casual dining spot. I think, you know, in the past, I think you and I have...
We've gotten
fancy everywhere else. But I think in Indianapolis, I've been to St. Elmo's with you, which is the famous steakhouse of Indianapolis. Maybe we have.
We did that at the Super Bowl 4 years ago.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. So we were just trying out another spot. I don't think it go in number one. It's not going to break the top three probably spots, but it was a good time.
It was a nice pizza, and then I took Handsome gave me all the leftovers.
We overordered pizza in a pretty big way.
Basically 3.5 to 4 real full size pies.
Went back to the 16 inch pizzas.
Yeah, they went back to the hotel room with
Dave,
and they did not get out.
No.
Well, they I carried them out in a manner of speaking, if you know what I mean. All right, hey. Gothard, behind the glass, you're filling in for Black Tie today, and you're no better than Black Tie. You're coming down on us for not talking enough.
No better than Black Tie.
Well, I don't know. Well, you're coming down on us. Yes. You're telling us we have to move on.
I was suggesting to move on.
You don't think our human interest stories are compelling to the listener?
To some extent.
All right, let's
try
out what he suggests.
All right, fine. Let's get into it. Very important stuff. Pro football version, and we'll start off with all that's going on with free agency. Now that the next couple months look like this, the combine's in the books. Now everybody's getting those franchise tags in place. Then free agency, then the draft.
Right, we're coming at you on Tuesday. We're talking next Wednesday, so 8 days from now, people are going to be flying around.
It's very exciting.
Very exciting. I love it. Hey, one thing we should do, and I think someone told me that Jared Allen maybe is coming in this week.
He is coming in on Thursday, and he's one of our favorites, number 69. We'll see him.
Something I'd really like to do. We tried it a little bit before, but it would be fun to find out what's it like to be a free agent. Like, is your phone ringing? Mm-hmm. Do you have players texting you saying, hey, come to wherever? When you go out for dinner, we've talked about this before, can you order anything? Is there ever a moment where, you know, normally if you go out for dinner with people and you're like, oh, Dave ordered that, so I, you know, you got to, you sort of calibrate. Are you just like surf and turf or whatever it is, whatever
you want? You know what? I love that because, and you would think somebody who likes food as much as I do, especially free food, you would think that I would have recognized that, but it was in fact your brilliant observation. If you're a free agent, don't announce like, yeah, I'm pretty much going back to my old team, or I think I'm, you know, looks like Miami for me. No. Keep it vague so that you get wined and dined by every team in the NFL.
And then you can do things like you can go, you know, you're talking with the general manager. You're like, wow, that's a really nice tie, Mr. Elway. And he's like, well, hey, son, if you want my tie, you can have it right now. And then give you a tie, and then you're like, I'm going back to Cleveland. Always was.
See
what you can wangle out of this whole thing. Pens, ties, meals.
I like
first
that.
First class flights,
I'm
hotels.
Thrown by your use of a word called wangle that I've never heard.
Wangle.
Wangle.
Wangle's like a word that means, you know, what can you get out of something.
Right. Okay, so let's wangle. And also, I didn't know John Elway was from the Deep South as you represented him.
In this case, he is.
All right. Let's talk about his former team. We can start anywhere. Right. Really, the quarterbacks are getting a lot of heat right now.
Well, Sam Bradford just re-signed with the Eagles as we walked into this room.
Okay, so let's start there.
And we'll
get to the Broncos because Von Miller getting tagged opens up a lot of questions around the defending champions. Sam Bradford, it feels to me like the Eagles were basically negotiating against themselves. Who's falling all over themselves to re-sign Sam Bradford or to get Sam Bradford? $18 million annually?
I mean, I agree with you. It sounds crazy, but then when you consider the salary cap has gone up $25 million this year, and quarterbacks are inevitably the highest paid players.
Okay, so that's still not a bargain.
And
but all right.
If the Eagles said, "All right, let's let Sam Bradford walk," what are your options? Your options are you want to get in a bidding war for Brock Osweiler, and so you probably wind up in a bidding war and paying him $18 million instead.
True.
You've got Chase Daniel, I think, is probably the next quarterback down, if you listen to the Around the NFL guys, who is a backup quarterback, to prove nothing, but at least Doug Peterson knew him for coming from Kansas City. Or you get into conversations about, do you trade for Colin Kaepernick, or who knows, even Peyton Manning, if he decides that he does want to carry on playing. So sometimes these things, you know, you and I have talked in the past about Andy Dalton and those type of guys, like, yeah, but what's plan B? If you don't re-sign Sam Bradford, what's plan B? And I think the one thing that could help him is that Doug Peterson coming in. Remember, Sam Bradford was not particularly good with Chip Kelly, was injured a lot before that. Doug Peterson's offense, that Andy Reid offense, where he's made, you know, Alex Smith look like a pretty decent, respectable NFL quarterback. You'd think that that would be something that Sam Bradford could pull off himself probably better than Alex Smith could.
You know what? I didn't buy. We've had the conversation about Sam Bradford many times, but if you can, in your brain, go back to when he was coming out of Oklahoma, he didn't jump out to me watching him in those Big 12 games. I didn't think this guy's a can't-miss guy, but all the scouts did.
They loved him before Andrew Luck.
Everybody loved him.
Before Andrew Luck came, he was considered the surest fire quarterback in a decade.
Right, and he is famous forever because he is the last guy to get the massive deal.
And the crazy thing is he's got decent money this time, like we're talking about, and then he's going to be a free agent 2 years from now. At the age of 30, he'll have an opportunity to get another contract.
I just, you know, I would feel awfully uninspired if I were an Eagles fan right now. But to your point, I don't know what the alternative was.
Right.
Sanchez,
they'll probably, you know, maybe they draft. So I think if you're only investing 2 years in Sam Bradford, the chances
that's
are
why
that
it's
draft this year, they'll get, I don't know, Hackenberg or some, you know, one of that second tier group of quarterbacks. Dak Prescott was a guy who performed pretty well at the combine. Maybe they go for one of those guys and try and develop him, and then 2 years from now you can actually evaluate and say, do we want Sam Bradford or do we want this guy that we've developed?
I like that. We should do that. I'm not prepared to do it right now. We should, because it'll be too many moving parts, but that's a good thing we should do on the next show or two, is the incumbent or a kid out of college. Right. Like, we'll play that game. Yep. Like, would you rather have Christian Hackenberg for all his flaws, or do you stay with the incumbent? Mario Williams, by the way, so the Bills kick him to the curb, finally. The writing had been on the wall, but there was a little smoke screen there from Rex. Rex, in the meantime, together with Rob Ryan now, has brought him in, and now is interested in bringing in Antonio Cromartie, and it really does make me think, like, Rex Ryan in his head is sort of like the Lakers currently. Like, you know what we should do to get good again? Let's just recapture the magic by bringing all those old pieces back. Right. You see teams that USC has done. Let's just get all those coaches. Let's just see if we can ride this out even further. Except there's been no success with Rex Ryan. But you're basically looking to kind of reform the Jets on some level. Yeah. Except you guys know you never even went to a Super Bowl together.
Yeah, so you played in green and now you're going to play in red.
Yeah,
it's going to be the difference.
Yeah, exactly. And get whipped by the Patriots.
And the one thing that was missing from that Jets team, of course, was Rob Ryan, who's proven to be such a winner.
I don't know, man. I wish we had the audio of that. We didn't get it at NFL Honors the night before the Super Bowl. I was talking to the Ryan brothers on stage. I'm interviewing them or about to start it. Ray Lewis jumps up on the stage, doesn't acknowledge that I exist, and goes into a conversation. Apparently, Gothard says the audio was too lousy, so no one's ever going to get to hear it, so you're going to have to take my word for it. But the whole conversation was Ray Lewis jumping up there like, ha-ha! And they were like, ha-ha, my man, there he is, back and forth. And them saying to each other for about 48 seconds in a row, like, league doesn't know what's about to hit them. No, they don't. League doesn't know what's about to hit them, huh, Ray? No, they don't know what's about to hit them, Rob. You know what I'm saying, Rex? Yep, no, we know what you're saying, Ray. Like, it was that for 45 seconds.
Sure.
What do you think? Go ahead. It's sort of the Chip Kelly thing. Everybody went in 3 years ago. Is the Chip Kelly thing going to work out? Akbar Bajabiamila early on looked like the wise man saying, oh, this is going to revolutionize things. Now it's petered out. Conversely, Heath Evans said that it would never work, and he has been proven correct, at least to this point. Go ahead, the Ryan brothers in Buffalo. Is this better than 2015 or worse?
For me, I think it spells the end of Rex Ryan. Because, well, here's why. Because
save this tape, fellas.
If it works, then great. I'm not saying it's not going to work. What I'm saying is if it doesn't work, and it's more likely not to work because it's not like Rob Ryan's done anything terrific throughout his career. And,
right.
And like you say, if it doesn't work, Rex will be asked to fire his brother. And I don't believe he'll do that, and then that would result in him having to resign, and I don't think he gets another head coaching job if he resigns. And I don't think maybe he even wants one. He said that when he went to Buffalo. This is my last stop. I would say 2 years from now, he'll be asked to fire Rob Ryan. He won't do it, and he'll resign.
Wow, that's fascinating and reckless speculation. I love it.
Thank you.
All right, let's move on then from Sam Bradford. Yeah, I guess, like I say, in that division, not that the NFC East is that great, but I think the Cowboys are going to be, I think most people would assume that they're going to be markedly better than they were last year for obvious reasons. If I were them, though, the thing I would do is, I know it'll be awfully tempting to, you know, I've said Laquon Treadwell would be good or a receiver to go alongside of Dez Bryant. I know that they're going to be, you know, they're going to look at pass rushers and maybe, the kid Jalen Ramsey out of Florida State at corner. But, boy, I would take Zeke Elliott. Behind that offensive line, if he is as good as projected, and you put him behind that offensive line and Tony Romo and Dez, that offense is going to be awfully hard to stop. I think I would be hard to – I think it would be tough to resist taking Zeke Elliott.
I would I don't disagree with you. I think that would be good, but it's a little early for Zeke Elliott. That seems earlier than he's being projected. They're picking.
Well, no one does, but you know, no one projects any running back to go that early.
Right. But I think they could get a guy like Lamar Miller and pay a lot probably for him in free agency. And then, I mean, the guy that I fell in love with in the combine, he didn't even do anything, is Miles Jack. I think that's who the Cowboys are. Certainly who I'd like my Miami Dolphins to pick as a linebacker. He can fly around, and he's kind of the antidote to a lot of things that offenses are trying to do now. When you get a guy like that who is so quick, can cover receivers, can track down a running back across the field.
Defensive playmaker. That's what you want on defense.
Yeah.
Guys that are disruptive like that. Yeah, so anyway, so with the Cowboys and D.C. coming off their crown, and I think the Giants are going to be better, this is shaping up to be bad for the Eagles. Although I've said the same thing about the Cowboys 2 years ago, and they were about
we'll see. I mean, I think that division's kind of, it's pretty nicely matched.
All right, what do we want to talk about next year? Who do we want to go on to here? Go ahead, Gothard. Your call. Dealer's choice.
Kaepernick? You want to talk about Kaepernick?
Let's talk Kaepernick.
All right.
What do you think about Cap? He has now requested. Chip Kelly and company have voiced their interest in keeping Cap, again, because what's their alternative? Blaine Gabbert or drafting Goff or Wentz or one of those kids. But Cap, in fact, if I were Chip Kelly, I think I'd want to reboot, right? Isn't that the smarter play than keeping Because although if you turn Cap around, then you look smart. And if you fail with Cap, it's like, well, see, it's the kid. He never turned the corner. That's not on me. It buys you another year if you're Chip Kelly we tried to make Cap work, but he's not good anymore.
But it depends how much they believe in the three guys or the four guys that we saw at the combine, the four quarterbacks that people are excited and hot under the collar about.
If you're Cap, where's the best place for him to land? I think the answer is quite clear, even though I've seen a lot of the speculation to Cleveland and Houston. I think there's one place that's clear.
Oh, because I was going to say Cleveland.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
I was going to say, and I will say, as I've already said, the Los Angeles Rams. That's the move. That's the move.
Great. I mean, it would be great. But who? I mean,
splashy.
Here's the thing. Why would you trade? Colin Kaepernick's contract is $19 million a year. We're getting excited about Sam Bradford. Colin Cap. I mean, who would you rather have out of those two?
Cap.
You would?
I know that's crazy to say. I know people will come down on me. Curmudgeons will bring
their
hands.
I don't think it's insane, but it's kind of a toss-up at this point between the two of them. If you can turn around Kaepernick, then I think you're absolutely right. You've got his ceiling is better than anything we've seen from Sam Bradford.
It's been, it's been a garbage. It's been a dumpster fire in San Francisco the last couple of years. So I don't think you can really hang everything on Cap the way people want to. And like I say, in Los Angeles, it's splashy. I think it makes the fit sounds right in my book there. The one that I predicted, and now there's heat around it, and Black Tie refuses to give me any credit for this. He said, when did you ever say that? Proving once again he doesn't listen to the podcast even when he's in the room. I have been saying Peyton Manning to the Rams makes sense for both parties. Peyton, if he wants to not retire, The Broncos don't want him. I don't care what Elway and everybody else and Kubiak. They don't want Peyton. They're going to cut him. They're going to release him. If he doesn't declare – and by the way, I mean, he's just, again, holding the Broncos hostage with this nonsense. He can't tell them one way or the other. I'm definitely coming back, so do what you want, Denver. No, I'm gonna keep it gray just to right. – I mean, out of self-interest.
You should have done it. You should have done it. They should have had their bus tour through Denver and seen the confetti and the fans – waving at them and stuff like he should have retired immediately.
I don't begrudge. I go back and forth on the issue. I love the pristine end to a career because if you like watching movies, then it makes sense. But the analogy I'll make is people who actually make the movies, like when people always say, why does Robert De Niro make so many bad movies? Because it's a fun process. When you go onto a movie, so you don't know what the final result's right. going to be. But in the meantime, the camaraderie and the yeah. life and everything is enjoyable to do, whether the movie's crummy or not. And same for Peyton. If he wants to play, if he wants to go through another training camp and go out there and compete for one more year of his life, then that's his will to do it. The question is, who wants him? Well, a team that's trying to get some heat on itself, a.k.a. the L.A. Rams.
But Peyton, we're always told Peyton is he studies NFL history, and he must have looked at all the quarterbacks that came here.
I agree.
Ended their career and been like, I don't want to be one of those guys. Like Joe.
Look how Brett Favre went out. That's the last one to look at.
Yeah, but Brett Favre was, that second penultimate year in Minnesota, that was one of maybe his best season.
Yeah.
Make an argument, that was his best year. So there was no reason for him not to carry on the next year because there was no sign that he was slowing down. Peyton Manning was absolutely flat out awful for this season.
Here's what people do as well with these things. They point out that Tony Romo, to move on to something else. With Tony Romo and how long guys are signed for. Tom Brady, well, now that means he's here for 20 years in New England. No, it doesn't mean that. It's reporting what the duration of the deal is. It's the same thing as reporting. Jerry Jones mentioned that Tony Romo can be our quarterback for the next 4 or 5 years. It doesn't mean that's going to be the case, everybody.
Right.
A reporter has to report without opining behind what the statement is. They're just reporting what is. So the people are getting crazy about Jerry Jones says Tony Romo's the QB for the next 5. No, he's saying he could be because that's the duration of the deal. So anyway, but as far as that goes, I think Peyton, I'm with you. If I were Peyton, I would walk away, but I'm not Peyton, and I could see the Rams looking to get some heat on the franchise and the
I agree.
The big debut in LA.
If he's going to go somewhere, then it makes perfect sense.
Who else do we want to talk about? Kirk Cousins is going to stay in D.C. We don't need to talk about that. Oh, let's talk about the defending champions, though. By tagging Von Miller, as they did on Tuesday, it means that other big-name guys are now going to be out there. People are going to chase them. Brock Osweiler 1, Malik Jackson 2. Let's talk about Brock Osweiler. Do you think he stays a Denver Bronco?
I think he does because I don't think any team's going to offer him more money than the Broncos are probably willing to pay him. And when it comes to him, he's going to be probably happier to go back to a place that he already knows the offense, he's comfortable with the people he'd be working with, rather than go for an extra million a year to Cleveland to who knows what.
Wouldn't
that make sense to you? I think he's going to get.
I wouldn't like the way Gary Kubiak did it to me. What he did to me. I come in, I save the season. And then because it suits your purposes, you kick me to the curb for the playoffs. I would have done the same thing. I should have a ring. I should already.
It's a ring.
I know. I should have been holding that Lombardi at the end of the night. I should have been doing that. And instead, I was I'm a footnote. I would be a little cross about that if I were Brock Osweiler. And I would seriously look at the Houston Texans.
Well, he will probably drive up his price or have his agent do it. But I'm sure in the end, when it comes down to it, because the teams that they're going to pay him, probably the same as Sam Bradford. He'll probably get somewhere in that realm, roughly speaking. He definitely doesn't have as much on tape as he does. But then maybe it's a 4-year deal. He's going to want to go into free agency again, which is a big deal for those guys. And then maybe he gets his opportunity at a really big contract at that point.
All right. I would rather forge my own path, which is what the Houston Texans feel like an opportunity for him to do, instead of taking over for Peyton and the year after a Super Bowl, and can you repeat that, and what the pressure of that
Look
is.
I think I'd just, he's got
I'd like him. I'd start fresh if I were
He's got some good players on defense.
Well, he's got some good ones in Houston as
if
well.
Peyton Manning.
And he's got DeAndre Hopkins and Jalen Strong.
I don't
he
know.
Can keep himself down low instead of up on high.
Yes.
All right. looking forward to free agency is the bottom
line. Yeah, it's going
to
be fun.
Now let's talk about another game, the game of movie making. They handed out the Oscars on Sunday night. And what did you watch him, Chris Rock, as the host and all that?
I did, yeah, the Academy Awards thing.
Yes, that's what they call them. Yes, yeah. I've heard that name as well. Oscars.
Oscars.
Right.
Right.
Let's not get hung up on
what. I'm not. I don't care. I
wonder why they are called the Oscars. That what you think it would be easy to figure out on Wikipedia.
Hey,
I'm not going to do it now, though.
Something that I was thinking about during the Oscars, because it wasn't terribly exciting, to be honest. You know when people say you know something like the back of your hand?
Yeah.
Which side is the back of your hand? Because I feel like I know this side of my hand, the bit with my fingers, the palm.
The side that holds.
I feel like
stuff.
I know that side of my hand better than I know this side of my hand.
That's a great
but
question.
But I never
I
known
really
what
know.
Is the back of your hand.
It's funny, when you look at the back of your hand, you might notice an odd, you know, little
yeah, but you don't know
mark
it.
Or
it's
two,
like,
but
oh,
I didn't
look,
know it was
that.
There.
Yeah.
Right.
Right, but this side of your hand, you're like, oh, I know that pretty well. I've seen it.
Do you, without looking, do you know if you have any hair on your
the
digits?
Palm of my hand.
Not on the palm of your hand. Do you know if you have hair on the back of your hand?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Could you tell me, without looking, if you have hair on your ring finger?
Which one's the ring finger?
The one that wears the ring, if you're married.
I don't have any rings.
Do you have hair on the finger that wears a ring? No, you don't. Look, I'm looking at it right now. You have no hair on
it. Well, on the top bit.
Yeah,
well, I have
top
it down
part.
There.
All right. Anyhow, so I thought that Chris Rock was marvelous in his monologue.
Yep.
I thought the rest of it was not. Then he started beating a dead horse. I felt a little bit like, all right, you know, yes.
We got it. And I think everyone had already done the joke as well.
You know, right.
Some of the jokes had already.
One of the weirdest things ever was the Stacey Dash thing when she walked out. That was very uncomfortable. I don't know what was happening there.
Know what that was.
And I've since read or heard her attempt to explain it, and it makes no sense. I don't know what this. I still don't get the bit. But either way, it looked like Mad Max was going to win every single award. And while I really did enjoy Mad Max a lot, the one thing that jumped out at me, all right, so we're doing a show, we're doing movies, we're remaking sci-fi classics. Was Mad Max that much better than Star Wars?
No.
I mean, and they're basically following a lot of the model of both of the first ones. I mean, Star Wars was basically a retelling of that with different people. And Mad Max was very much the same, car chase
Journey
through the desert.
Across the desert, exactly.
Mad Max was that much better a remake than Star Wars was?
No, it wasn't. You're right.
It was weird because they were up for all the same awards and Mad Max just kept winning it. He must have, what's his name, must have been sitting there, the guy who made the movie, made Star Trek as well and Lost. What's the director's name? Anyway.
J.J. Abrams.
J.J. Abrams must have been like, what gives? I didn't do anything.
What do you want from me?
You know what it is? It's that Mad Max, the original, is not held in that high a regard where Star Wars is. That's the reason why this one was
considered.
Although the guitar player in this Mad Max was sublime weirdness.
Yeah.
I love that.
I was thrilled for my old friend Leonardo DiCaprio.
You know DiCaprio. He's an old friend, is he?
Yeah, he is.
How so? Tell the tale.
I acquainted myself with Leonardo DiCaprio once, aged 18.
That makes it sound like something.
No,
it
wasn't
words happen.
But untoward.
No. But it'd be fine if that's what you wanted to do. You were 18. You were out experimenting.
New land. Why not Leonardo DiCaprio?
Beautiful man. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a beautiful guy. No, that's not what happened. Leonardo DiCaprio, I aged 18. I think I've told the story on this podcast before, but let's assume that none of the listeners have heard it.
Unlikely, but okay.
I drove across the United States of America aged 18 with a friend. We lived in Kentucky and castrated calves. I think I've told that story before. And then we drove across the country and we wound up.
For those who are American, what he said was
he castrated
calves in the state of Kentucky, but that is in fact true for a summer. That was your summer job, castrating calves.
Exactly. And then we drove across the country and we wound up in Los Angeles, California, in Hollywood, where the friend of mine that I drove across with, his brother is a movie director. Mm-hmm. And we were, we'd been sleeping in cars and castrating cows and all this stuff. And now all of a sudden we were in
show business,
showbiz land.
Right.
And we were, we went to Hollywood parties, and at one of those events, Leonardo, who was about the same age as us, we got talking to him, and we told him about our journey across the
country. So a couple of decades ago, you're glad-handing with one Leo DiCaprio. Is he surrounded by women?
No, at the time, it was us and a couple, Christian Slater was there. It was very weird. and we told him about
Slater
it.
Doesn't even get a mention. He barely even gets
At the time,
Christian Slater was there as well.
It's, at the time, I was much more excited about Slater. I loved Slater.
I would think so, right. Yeah.
Slater was, you know, true romance. Had that happened yet? I don't know. But I liked him in the movie where he's a DJ, a radio DJ in high school called Pump Up the Volume. Ever seen that?
Yeah.
It's a good one. Anyway.
You know, so, DiCaprio also, not unlike yourself, he sliced animals in the movie that won him the Oscar.
I haven't yet watched The Revenant.
I haven't either, but somebody just whispered that in my
bear.
Ear. Yeah, he fights a bear of some sort. Yes, I have to watch that picture.
I'd like to watch it. We should go together.
I haven't seen I haven't seen The Revenant, and I haven't seen the one that was Spotlight. I didn't see the one that won the Oscar.
Oh, that's very good. I've watched that.
And yet I somehow felt cross about it because I always am cynical about those Oscar voters. You did watch
it. I have watched it. Spotlight's pretty terrific.
Shame on you,
Zach.
I've seen both The Revenant and Spotlight.
Oh, look who's here.
I know.
Black Tie can't be. He couldn't leave. I had to get on the mic.
Yeah, I couldn't give up the.
Yeah, but then again, Black Tie, you. Okay, great. You've seen that. But you see every movie. These days, it's not. No one's arguing that you don't see movies. They're saying you don't see good movies pre 93. And you watched. You thought that the Shades of Grey one was one of the best movies of the year.
Fifty Shades of Grey. Oh yeah, you
loved
that.
It.
Oh,
don't you went? You loved it. And you went on opening night. Not time out anything.
This is
what a weirdo. Who goes? What man goes
went
on
by
to see
himself?
Fifty Shades
went
of
by
Grey.
Himself.
Also untrue. What?
Some
said,
creep in the movie theater.
What I said was the soundtrack was hot. And if you know anything about music, you would agree with me. The soundtrack was fire.
Well, I'm not going to watch it, so we'll never know that. But let's be honest. Your movie, all your movie recommendations, etc., tarnished.
Nonsense.
Hey, Black Tie, there's a great game on. You want to come by my place? Have a beer or two? We'll order a beer. No, I'm going to go see Fifty Shades tonight, man.
Oh, cool. You taking your girlfriend there? Nah, man, I'm going to go by myself.
Well, you guys go watch Spotlight and Revenant.
What a creep.
And then we can talk.
What a creep.
Wait, don't get off the mic, Black Tie, because now we have to do a Leo DiCaprio edition of Has Black Tie Seen It?
Oh.
Have you seen?
Well, so the movie that I had just seen when I met him in 1995, the movie that I had seen literally a few days before, and that would have been honestly the only reason I'd have even known who he was called Basketball Diaries. And because Black Tie is a basketball fan, I expect he's probably seen it. But it was 95 as well, so
that's a good place to start. Has Black Tie seen that one? I'm going to guess no.
I have seen it. I don't remember much of it, though. But it doesn't. So it doesn't sort of count.
I think in a weird way,
sort of count.
I'm going to make a prediction. Black Tie has seen an inordinate number of Leo.
I
don't know why.
Leo is my dude.
Is that right?
Gilbert Grape.
I love. No, I haven't seen that.
What?
That's a great. You have seen Titanic.
Of course.
Yeah. It's Black Tie's all-time favorite.
And I also, that's great music. And that's
Inception, you've seen?
Of course.
Yeah. The Departed, you've seen?
I own The Departed.
Whoa.
The Departed, you know what? The Departed is great in a lot of ways, but that it all hinges on the cell phone thing. It's a little bit too much with the cell phone involvement. I didn't care for that part kind of threw me a little bit. And I also don't buy it as a result. These guys are master criminals, but they don't know that Leo DiCaprio is the mole. They don't know that he's the cop. But your crew of five guys has added for the first time in 20 years. I don't know if it's you, DiCaprio. I'm keeping my eye on you, says Nicholson. Yeah. This is an unsatisfying addition because Black Tie's seen them all.
You hadn't seen Gilbert Grape. That's a good one.
Yeah, that is a good one.
I'm surprised
you've seen them all. Yeah, but I've seen a decent amount from, The Departed, The Aviator, Catch Me If You Can.
Aviator is a good one.
Aviator is a little.
I even tried watching J. Edgar. I couldn't do it, but I tried.
Oh, I didn't see that
myself. I haven't seen that one.
So was DiCaprio a nice fella?
He's a charming guy.
Is he?
Yeah, he's very nice.
He seems to this day, I think. Like
I liked
the rest
speech
of us,
at the Oscars, by the
I think we all look at these celebrities or football players or whatever on TV, and you make guesses about it whether or not they're good people or not. And usually, very often you'll be wrong. I'm always right. I just watch them and I get a sense of their essence. I like this DiCaprio. I think he'd be a cool guy.
I think we should maybe let's see if Black Tie can book him.
Hello, Leo. What have you been up to these last 20 or so years? You and I spoke. Right after Basketball Diaries. I wonder if you'd be interested.
Who is that supposed to be?
John Elway. Okay. All right, let's move on then. Congratulations on meeting DiCaprio. Oh, and also, how could we have this conversation without mentioning the greatest slight in or among the greatest slights since Star Wars didn't win, or Empire Strikes Back didn't win Best Picture back in the late 70s, early 80s in favor of I don't even know what. What was the big one that when Chariots of Fire? Oh, E.T. should have won that year, but Chariots of Fire won. But add Sly Stallone not getting the best supporting actor over that guy from whatever he was in, Bridge of Spies. That was an outrage.
Bridge of Spies.
Why wouldn't they vote for him? They're going to be such jerks that they can't give Sly Stallone. It would basically be his Lifetime Achievement Award. Just give it to him. What's he ever going to make now that's going to earn him an Oscar?
Got to call Jive on that check.
Why?
You were not too big. Are you just your Lifetime Achievement Award? Is that all you're calling? Because you were not too big on Creed. I didn't even know.
I never saw Creed.
Then how are you going to supporting him?
I don't care. Come
on.
Tom Hardy should have won.
The Hollywood industry, or the entertainment industry, has made billions of dollars off of Sly Stallone led.
Well, are we going off money? Because, I mean, there's a lot of movies that make a ton of money that don't even get considered.
I think at some point it matters. Do I think Michael Bay ever has to get an Academy Award? No, but I do think if you're Sly Stallone and you have been iconic for as long as Sly was, you were a little kid, Black
Eye. He's been knocking out movies for a long time.
I get it, because yeah. And then he slayed them. Rambo. That wasn't as good.
Fun fact, Rambo is a big Nigerian cult hero.
Well, I mean, from Rocky Balboa to John Rambo, I mean, what else do I have to say? I mean, he's made a lot of iconic pictures. You don't have to think they're great, but Copland was all right. I mean, how do you slight slide?
Have you watched
for that guy?
Bridge of Spies?
No.
Really one of the most boring movies I've ever watched.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Somebody told me the other day that it was the movie of the year. Oh, I got into a very minor little Twitter back and forth with Chris Harris Jr. the other day. Did you notice that over the weekend? The defensive back, the corner for the Denver Broncos, observed while watching the combine. And the
using the right word this time. No.
Oh, you see what happens? It's even hard for me to remember.
Sorry, you don't
it's
need
the
to
combine.
Stick
no, it's no, the no, combine, no. Everybody. It's not the combine. The combine is a piece of farming equipment. A combine is a collective of people doing the same thing. Which one is closer to the truth? I think you know the answer to that. But anyway, Chris Harris Jr. was watching the combine on TV and of course on Saturday. The receivers ran a lot of slow 40s.
Oh, yeah,
ran slow 40. So he tweeted out, a lot of slow receivers out there today, LOL. And I tweeted back at him, slow receiver Antonio Brown got you for 15 catches, 190 yards, and 2 touchdowns, LOL. And then people really got excited about that and were retweeting that a lot. And then Chris Harris – and people jump on it. They're like vultures or concords or whatever. Condors. That was the word I was looking for. Condors. They swooped in and they started to pick poor Chris Harris apart. I'm just having fun, everybody. Lighten up. You know,
so did he come back to you?
He decided to have, he decided to, to correspond with me like a human being.
Right.
And we talked a little bit about movies, and Bridge of Spies was his favorite movie of the year. And
not a good movie.
Not good.
No, but it has Tom Hanks in it, and I find him almost unwatchable.
Speaking of condors, the LA Clippers unveiled inexplicably their new mascot. It was not a Concord, it was a condor.
Right.
But it still makes no sense, because LA Clipper is a boat. You see, it's a fast-moving ship, is what a clipper is.
Sailor.
Condor has nothing to do with it. Condor's a bird. It's a state bird, but it's an indigenous bird.
Is it a state bird of this state?
I don't know if it's the state bird, but I believe
it's a bird
indigenous.
That lives in this state, or it's flown through this state.
It's
not good enough to have. It's fine to have a state bird. It's not good enough to have birds that might have been in the state.
I'm not sure about that standard, but all I know is this: it's not just that it's a condor.
Carry on.
If you want to know what a condor looks like in the wild, just look at my upper lip. It's kind of like that. Here it is. There he is, Chuck the Condor, Handsome Hank, the new mascot of the LA Clippers. Steve Ballmer, the owner, introduced him.
Do you know he's the richest owner in all of sports?
It's a bunch of disparate parts just slapped together. It looks like Mickey Mouse's head with a protective cup over his face.
Look how high it jumped.
Gray pants, and then yellow legs. It's very strange. All of Twitter is abuzz. He's got a pink head. It is a ridiculous, it's about as ridiculous as there ever is. And so I thought, let's go through some of the mascots. I noticed a lot of people on the radio and otherwise are doing the same thing. But, of course, when something this seminal happens, it requires that you go back through history and not just declare hyperbolically this is the best or worst thing we've ever seen. Let's consider some of the mascots that we've gotten a look at over the years here. First of all, the Condor's is stolen. That's not even the best condor in mascot history. That's the Pittsburgh Condor. The Pittsburgh Condors were an ABA team in the early 70s. And as you can see, if you're watching
like
on
condor.
YouTube, he's way cooler. Then across the state of PA, that's the Philly Fanatic, spelled PH. What do you think of him, handsome? This is fun to do with an English.
What is it supposed to be?
He's a fanatic. He's his own creature. I kind of like that. And out of his green snout every once in a while comes a red thing. There he is, Bernie Brewer.
Oh, I love the Brewers.
Yeah, you love your – that's your Brew Crew mascot.
He looks very Scandinavian.
Yeah, he's got that big yellow mustache, and he slides into beer after home runs. I don't know if he still does that anymore. But, yeah, what's not to love about a team named after beer? Then there are the Milwaukee Brewers Bratwursts.
Oh, I never knew
about
them.
There they all are, and they're a lot of fun. They run a race.
Right.
Every baseball game. Then there is there's
Steely McBean.
I've often said he's the jaundiced Adam Carolla.
Yep.
What do you think of Steely McBean?
I like Steely McBean.
I think his name is
I met him once at the Super Bowl.
Did you? Was he a nice guy?
I have a stronger jaw than him.
Then here's the whole Cincinnati Redlegs gang. And what I like about that over Mr. Met is that there's a whole gaggle of them. So you know which one came first because he's reproduced.
Right.
Although, look at this. There's the Western Kentucky Hilltopper
thing.
Yeah,
I like that.
Although he just looks like Elmo who got fat.
Right.
You know, like Elmo grew up and overate a little bit.
Got out of the trash can and...
Yeah, there he is. No, that's Oscar.
Oh, that's Oscar.
But yes, I think he's one of the more ridiculous ones.
Awful. Awful.
Flying Elvis. There's Pat Patriot, the Patriot who snapped the football on the hats until Tom Brady came around, or Drew Bledsoe, and then they went to this cockamamie character who looks like Elvis, ergo Flying Elvis.
Most punchable face in sports.
Can't stand him. And then there's the Syracuse Orange, who I do love. He's just
he's just an orange.
That's what's great. He's an orange.
I like the fact they're not even trying to disguise it as a human in an orange outfit.
No, simplicity.
He's wearing... basically pants.
And he's happy, but he's not overly happy. Right. He's just sort of amused by what's going on. Then if we're talking mascots, no, that's Spike Lee,
director. Sorry.
Yes. Okay. Not a vagrant at all. Although we should get into some Spike Lee movies in the next round of Has Black Tie Seen It. And then, of course, the greatest mascot of them all, or of recent vintage, Peyton Manning, the mascot of the 2015 Denver Broncos. Who Peyton did about as much as I did for the Denver Broncos this past season.
Yep.
So I think he's a good
one. A good mascot.
Jar Jar Binks, does he count as a mascot?
He was like a mascot for how not to do Star Wars.
If you had never had to see one again, would it be Jar Jar Binks or would it be Chuck the Condor? Or Peyton Manning?
I would say if I never had to see one of them again, Jar Jar Binks.
Did you ever think of, you know, by the way, whoever put that together, Gothard Behind the Glass, I believe, was responsible for creating that little montage. Well done there.
Yeah, well done.
I think the London Olympic Games guy,
wasn't
that ridiculed?
Yeah, they were bad. They were like two one-eyed monster things. I don't know what they were called.
Body of work, I think the Olympics are the ones that do the worst, which is weird because it's not like one person's doing them every year. Right. Every year, 4 years
you
to consider.
You got
the Olympics. All right, get to work on your mascot. And almost every year, it's something just awful.
I'm not sure why you would need one.
Another key point. Why do you need a mascot?
What is the point of a mascot for the Olympic Games? You've got the Olympic Games. You don't need a mascot. It's not like they're the London Olympic dogs. It's just the London Olympics.
Yeah,
you don't need a mascot.
Exactly. Yeah,
they do it for World Cups. Black Tie would be able to tell us about that.
A great question. Why do they have an Olympic mascot? Right. He's not there to, you know, a mascot is there at the game to hype up the team and get the team excited. But you know,
there are people throwing arrows around and running around.
I guess you're trying to please everybody. at the Olympics, and so you want somebody who everybody can get behind hating.
I think people like
– everybody wants to get by. Like, one thing we can all – you're from Germany, I'm from another part of the world, but we can agree that that is a
terrible mascot. Yeah. That must be the only reason for it.
The winner of best mascot, I hate to say it, this continues an ugly trend for Damashek. You know how my favorite uniform in hockey is the Philadelphia Flyers, my most hated team in sports. I hate the Flyers, but man, I can't say I can't turn my nose up at those glorious get-ups they have. Same thing. I went to Indiana University. The arch rival, the Purdue Boilermakers, mascot is about as good as it gets. He's a brawny guy with a steel hat, and he swings a hammer. He makes steel after all.
Right.
After my own boilers. Okay, Boilermaker.
Yeah. I can see why you like that.
And he invented a drink, too, named after himself. A little arrogant to do that. All right, let's get to it, Handsome. Let's round the show up with our ongoing series here. Super Bowl 50, as of this moment, the greatest quarterbacks of the Super Bowl era are – what do you want to do here, Gothard? Do you want to look back at where we were at 40, or are we just going to jump into 50 here?
Let's just jump right into 50.
We're jumping into 50? So be it. You can go back and listen to the podcast from last Tuesday. Here you are. As of Super Bowl 50. Go. Yes, I would
like
you
to. Read them.
We've counted it down, and let me just explain again.
You explain. I'll get ready to read.
All right. I think it's interesting how in 10-year increments – the best ever changes for we fans. And so we started out as of Super Bowl 10, who were the 10 best quarterbacks in NFL history. Then we did 20, then we did 30, 40, and now here we are up to 50. And there are some major changes since Super Bowl 40 up to Super Bowl 50. Take it away, Handsome Hank. Count it down from 10 to 1.
I'm going to go from 10 to 1. So number 10, we got Terry Bradshaw of your Pittsburgh Steelers. Drew Brees.
Controversy right out of the gate.
Right.
People don't like that.
And I would agree with him, but I've already had the argument with you. Drew Brees is at 9. Drew Brees was not on the list prior to this, so he's jumped straight in at number 9. That's interesting. Ben Roethlisberger of your Steelers.
Another one, not
8.
On the list. Newcomer
there. Yeah, newcomer. Aaron Rodgers, also not on the list. He comes in at 7. Peyton Manning, who was on the previous list, I'm correct on that one front, right?
Peyton had made the back end.
He was just back at the back end. He's now at number 6. Obviously, he's just won his second
Super Bowl. That's going to upset a lot of people. People are going to say Peyton should be way higher on there, but all right, here we go. Who would he be ahead of out of these 5 names that Hanson's going to
be? Number 5, John Elway.
Okay.
Number 4, Brett Favre.
Or as he would say, my name is John Elway.
My name's John Elway. Number 4 is Brett Favre. Number 3, Dan Marino. Number 2, Joe Montana. And number 1, Tom Brady.
Your thoughts, Handsome.
My thoughts are, I think you've been very generous with Terry Bradshaw, and I understand why. I've heard your arguments on that front.
It's not because I'm a homer. That's what I know people want to say that, but he's always one of the 3 guys who's won 4 Super Bowls. He's 4-0. He was an MVP in 2 of those Super Bowls.
Let me throw two names in the NFL. Let me throw two.
The idea that he was carried by the defense indicates you never watched them play. If that's what
he was excellent, and I want to throw another name at you that I think is the best up until now. I've had arguments with you about Roger Staubach, and I accept, you know, that for whatever reason you've ranked him ahead of him. I think a good comparison in terms of a dominant team that had a good quarterback at the helm of it, Troy Aikman, right?
Mm-hmm.
Troy Aikman was, through his career, you know, one of the 3 best quarterbacks in the NFL, played on an incredibly strong team that had lots of great supporting parts, just like Terry Bradshaw did. Where does Aikman fall? If he's not obviously in this top 10, why would Terry Bradshaw be ahead of Troy Aikman?
Gothard, you were there when we were putting this together. Aikman was pretty close to cracking the top 10,
He was like 11 even. 11 or 12, I thought.
He was right there. No, because, Staubach is, in my book, Staubach is just ahead of Aikman. So it might have been 11 and 12, might have gone Staubach.
Right.
Aikman right there. I've talked to a lot of people, though. I'll tell you this. You know, Sal from the Kimmel Show is a diehard Cowboys fan, and you know, it was one thing when Sporty Simmons said Aikman's. He brought up the fact that he thought Troy Aikman was the most overrated or maybe the least worthy Hall of Famer in the last 2 decades.
Really?
And then Kevin Hench, another pal who we've done a lot of stuff with over the years and a formidable sports brain, agreed. And then Sal agreed. And then I said, what craziness is this? What world am I living in that you guys don't see Troy right. Aikman as a clear-cut, high-end quarterback in history?
Well.
Nobody threw that sideline route, dropping dimes over the shoulders. And people like to say, only his guy could have gotten that one. Troy Aikman actually threw passes that only his receiver could get.
And I think, he was incredibly accurate. He was known for that through his career. He was pretty tough. I mean, he wound up having to retire because of those concussions. But also, when you now read the sort of legend of that Cowboys team, it was pretty clear that it was sort of full-on mutiny for a lot of it. Like, Jimmy Johnson let things go. Barry Switzer had almost no control over that team, and yet with Troy Aikman, they just moved the ball down the field every single time they got the ball. They were like clockwork.
We don't have to hash through all these names here, but Drew Brees.
I think you're generous with Brees.
Well, if you don't like Terry Bradshaw at 10, I had a really hard time putting Drew Brees in front of him. I know for the statistical. The mammoth statistical deeds that he's put up there now that really are going to live on for a long time. Is he better than Terry Bradshaw or Roger Staubach? I don't know. It's just that the numbers are so hard to argue against. I just decided to wave the white flag there. Do I think in my heart, though, that Drew Brees, he doesn't have that killer to him. There's something about him that doesn't feel like that his game elevates in the biggest moments.
If we were to do this again 10 years from now, some of these names have like maintained and climbed up the list. If we were to put together a list for Super Bowl 60, speculating, looking forward recklessly.
Yes.
I don't believe Brees would make that list.
I agree with you. And in fact, we're going to do exactly what you just mentioned.
What?
On the next show, we'll go up to we'll speculate ahead there. I suspect that Cam Newton might
Ooh,
squeeze in there.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that.
He'll be
then,
fun
then.
To talk to. Roethlisberger at 8, argue like, all I mean, you want, but is that amazing?
I'm not arguing with you.
I know, but a lot of people are
Ben
getting,
Roethlisberger.
Oh, okay.
Ben Roethlisberger deserves to be on this list. Terry Bradshaw does not deserve.
He's a guy. Bradshaw. But,
I don't want to talk about Bradshaw.
All right. I mean, not Bradshaw. I was talking Roethlisberger again. 12 years in, he's played in one quarter of all Super Bowls available to him, and he won two of them, and in the later stages of his career is now turned into a stats machine on top of being this gamer whose game elevates in January. He was terrible in that Super Bowl, in that first Super Bowl they won. Yeah, go back and watch what he did in the weeks leading up to Super Bowl 40, mm-hmm. and that'll get – I love Aaron Rodgers. This may come as a shock that I have him as low as 7 here. I'm looking
as
50. What am I going to do?
Right. If we had done this a year ago, I think you'd have had him higher.
I probably would have, because this is the first time. 2015 was the first time we saw him look human, really.
Yep.
Peyton Manning at 6, 3, two rings now, all those numbers and everything.
So you're worried that people will be upset with you having Peyton at 6?
I think many people would say Peyton Manning is the greatest quarterback of all time. In fact, I've heard a lot of people say that.
Right.
Gothard, am I unfair to Peyton here? Take your time, though, please. Take your time, Andrew.
I don't think you're the biggest Peyton fan in the world, if that means – I mean
– What?
I don't think you're the biggest Peyton fan in the world.
That's not what I'm asking you, boy. I'm asking you where would you put Peyton.
Boy.
Whoa.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't say – I'd say that you're a little bit unfair to him. For winning the Super Bowl.
All right, so who should go ahead of Peyton there? Black Tie doesn't like that. This doesn't concern you, Black Tie. I can call him what I want to call him.
He's sticking
Boy.
Up.
Who should Peyton go ahead of there then? Gothard or Handsome? Make a case. Who
I don't
Peyton
want to put him ahead of anyone.
John Elway at 5.
John Elway.
Brett Favre.
I think
Brady. I guess Marino would be the guy you would point at, right?
Well, here's the thing, okay? I love Dan Marino, and this is a very difficult thing for me to say because I genuinely adore Dan Marino, but I think Brett Favre should be ahead of him.
Hmm.
I think, Brett Favre did similar things statistically but won Super Bowls.
Won a Super Bowl.
It's a Super Bowl. Got a ring. And then Peyton Manning has done similar things statistically, broke records, and won 2 Super Bowls.
All right. But the last one, what's going to benefit Peyton is 10 years right. away from this, as yes. we talked about.
Yeah, yeah.
Peyton's going to look a lot better for having that second
so
ring.
I'm,
if you were lucid during Super Bowl 50 and the run-up to it, anybody will be able to tell you. Of course, he was a passenger on that train in 2015.
Right.
So, all right.
Here's what I'm proposing.
But would you take
– I would switch.
If Elway was playing Peyton with the exact same team and the only thing you were changing is the QB.
In their prime.
Yeah.
Peyton.
Really?
I would take Peyton.
Wow. That's very interesting. And Marino had here's the thing that Elway and Marino and Favre even didn't have. Peyton played with Hall of Famers around him his whole career.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it comes down to.
I made that argument right. Throughout.
Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, right. Demaryius Thomas, Edge James,
yep.
and so on are better collectively than anything Elway ever played with,
mm-hmm.
besides Terrell Davis at the very end of his career. And Marino never had anybody good.
Never had
Tony
any.
Nathan, Mark Clayton, those are the names
Lorenzo
you're going to throw out.
Hampton,
right, it's
Kareem
ridiculous.
Abdul-Jabbar.
I forgot about 30.
Cecil Collins.
How did Kareem Abdul-Jabbar even wear the same number as the real Kareem
right.
Abdul-Jabbar? Outrageous.
But on this list, I think I'm not saying that you should change them, but I think you could put Peyton ahead of Elway, and I think you could put Favre ahead of Marino.
And are we right, though, at the very top? Because ultimately, I
yes.
guess that's what matters most.
Yeah,
Brady 1, then Montana.
Brady and Montana 1 and 2, and I think it'll take something spectacular in the next 10 years for that to change 10 years from now when we talk about that list.
Handsome, a lot of people, like Black Tie, said we couldn't do the show alone. What do you feel about that now? How do you feel
Why
we did today?
Say that?
I thought we had a perfectly delightful show today.
I think we had a good time.
We heard about Leo DiCaprio, your dear
friend.
We
heard a lot of things. I think it was probably we overcame some, you know, the same way that Marino didn't have, you know, the great support cast.
Right.
I'd say you and I probably didn't have the best direction or production.
We're feeling you, Danny Marino,
right.
today.
Yeah.
You know? That's
sort of,
it.
It's sort of like we've got Irvin Spikes and I don't know. I don't know which one of the receivers. Farrell Edmonds.
Matt Gothard is here by Jim Jensen then? Is
no,
that
he's Farrell Edmonds. and Black Tie is Troy Stratford.
All right. So we're going to be back. Later in the week, a couple days from now, we're coming back with Jared Allen, just retired, and we've talked to him just a couple of times, but, man, he's terrific.
Is it true that he rode his horse here, or he's riding his horse, when he left, when that retirement video was actually departed?
I hope that's his only mode of transportation right. for the rest of his life. Yeah, let's hope so. That's a good call. I like that. I like where your head's at on that. Best horses in movie history, Black Tie suggests. And Black Tie, you can't talk in my ear during the show. Talk into the microphone. If you want to say something,
he doesn't have
share
a
it with the people. Oh, he wants a rap instead. He'll share his gold later. But he says his favorite horse in movie history is Zorro. Zorro's horse? The best horse that I can think of without doing much work on that is Silver. From Lone Ranger.
Silver's good from Lone Ranger. I'm trying to think. I can't remember what his name is. I think it's something like Africa is the name of the horse of Butch Cassidy.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. And
yeah,
Black Tie just
I think it's called Africa.
And Black Tie just mentioned that there's a meaningful horse in The Revenant. Now he's just rubbing my nose in it because I haven't seen it yet.
Right.
All right, Black Tie, are you going to get on the microphone or not? We don't want to have
a conversation
with a one-sided conversation.
This is a podcast.
It's like we're sitting in a restaurant and you're talking on and I'm talking on a cell phone to somebody. All right, three amigos, nothing. Two amigos, me and Handsome. Well, three, including my mustache. All right, we'll be back with Jared Allen later in the week. In the meantime, go check out those videos I suggested to you. Me, McAfee. And Greg Olson having a gay time in Indianapolis. We'll talk to you later in the week. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven. Oh, I missed.